what's right. Fight for your life.
All right, everybody, welcome to a very special episode of Orphan Radio. My good friend and political junkie, Benji King, is going to break down the 2016 election. We've never done a semi-serious episode. It's always us acting like idiots, but I figured you know more about politics than anybody I know, friend or acquaintance, so I figured you'd be a good person to have on this episode. Also, I know you like to talk about this stuff. You're obsessive about it. It consumes your life. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, let me ask you a question. The first question I want to ask you is, can you be objective?
Absolutely.
Do you think you are?
I know I am.
Okay.
I can demonstrate that with my ideas. And you know, I mean, you know, it's mostly just a matter of being honest.
Okay. How did you first get into politics?
Well, probably like my first exposure I remember to any kind of political thing was in, I think it was around the 1984 election when I was nine or so. My grandparents, I would go with them to do all kinds of stuff. They lived out in Paola, Kansas, and I think I rode with them to the polls. I don't know if it was election day or when it was, but for some election around that time, and they voted, and then they laughed about how they just canceled out each other's votes because my grandpa was a Republican and my grandma was a Democrat. So anyways, my grandma used to always say that under the Democrats or under the Republicans, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And so I always kind of latched onto that all my life. But really getting into politics is, you know, I always consider myself a Democrat. But I really got into politics around 1998 during the whole Monica Lewinsky thing because I had this ethics professor who would talk about it every day. And so I got really interested in that and followed that pretty closely. And then the 2000 election, you know, I was absolutely consumed by every aspect of that for months and months, as everyone else was that, you know, got into that stuff. And then ever since then, I just have been totally obsessed with politics. And, you know, I'm not an expert by any means, but I do pay attention to a lot of different media outlets and I read a lot of different people on all sides and perspectives. And I'm a reasonably educated person. So I put it all together. And yeah, I may have my biases on some levels, but I think that, you know, I can be pretty objective about most things. So,
okay.
Know.
So I know Bernie Sanders has a lot of hype, you know, behind him right now because of how well he's done in certain places. Why are you not supporting him and why are you supporting Hillary?
Okay.
This should be a short answer, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. First of all, I've had my I'm ready for Hillary sticker with President Obama right next to her little picture of him sticker on my bumper longer than most of the people supporting Bernie Sanders have even known who he is. I've always kind of had as a very partisan Democrat, I'll admit that that's what I am. I'm very partisan. I mean, I belong to a union. I work for the government. I believe in groups and parties. And so, I've always kind of held him, you know, sort of as someone who I'm glad he caucuses with the Democrats, but he's not a Democrat. He's voted against Democrats throughout historically on all sorts of different issues. You know, just the things you see in the media now, barely, because they haven't really vetted him. But, you know, a couple of examples are the fact that he voted against the Brady Bill 5 times. I mean, that's kind of a big deal to me.
All right, we'll explain the Brady Bill to listeners.
Well, it's basically background checks, and it started after James Brady was shot by John Hinckley in 1981 on an attempt on Reagan's life, and they were both shot. And anyways, it's a legislation named after, I think he was a chief of staff, wasn't he, or whatever he was, that they've been tried. They took forever to get it to go through. I think it was in 93 or whatever year that it finally passed. But it was basically instituting background checks, and Bernie Sanders voted against it 5 times. And, you know, that has not just that vote, but there was also another vote in, I can't remember what year it was, but it was when President Obama was Senator Obama, Hillary Clinton was Senator Clinton. So it was sometime in that period between 2004 and 6, I believe. But they had a that bill that was immunity for gun manufacturers and dealers. And Bernie Sanders said that it was intrusive or it went too far, something like that. So he voted against it. And it's like that's earned him a D minus with the NRA, which is a problem for me because I don't want to vote for anyone that doesn't have an F with the NRA. Not because I'm so anti-gun or anything. I own a gun. My dad's like a gun nut. I'm not anti-gun. I just think that we need to have reasonable background checks and, you know, make it harder for people that shouldn't have them to get them, even though, no, it will never prevent all mass shootings or any of that stuff. But if it keeps some kid from shooting his little brother or some kid from killing himself or his mom or something, you know, 100 times, I mean, isn't it worth it? Anyways, he voted for that bill. I don't know all the intricacies of it right now, but anyways, those things are kind of, you know, a problem for me. But also in 2007, he voted against an immigration bill that Ted Kennedy sponsored. It was his bill, and Bernie voted against it. And recently in one of the debates, he said the reason he voted against it was because it was akin to slavery and that it had provisions that were really negative towards guest workers and such. But in 2007, right after he voted against it, he told Lou Dobbs on the Lou Dobbs show on CNN that he voted against it because we don't need them coming here and taking our jobs. And I mean, it's out there. Obviously the media hasn't really worried about vetting him. So none of that stuff gets the same kind of play as the slightest thing that Hillary Clinton does. But it is things like that, to answer your question, you know, it's stuff like that. And to be honest with you, a lot of people, if you read anecdotes from people that knew him and worked with him in the past, he's kind of a dick, and that's what he has a reputation of. That that's not me making that up and just saying that. I mean, it's something that you can look at. Why do you think every single senator that has endorsed someone in the United States Senate has endorsed Hillary Clinton and not him? It's not like there aren't people there that aren't pretty left or aren't, you know, don't have to work with him.
So no senator has endorsed him.
Not one. I believe he has 3 congressmen. The only 2 that I know of right now that I can think of are Keith Ellison from Minnesota and Raul Grijalva from Arizona. I saw some blurb. I thought it was an Onion headline, but on Facebook or something about he snagged a 3rd congressional endorsement. But anyways, 3 people in Congress out of 180, whatever, 150 something, 57, I think, maybe more or less now, but have endorsed Hillary Clinton. If you look at the list of, well, every single, I think, pretty much elected official in Vermont, there might be some state reps and senators or whatever that have endorsed him, but I think the entire congressional caucus from Vermont has endorsed her. What do you think that says about a person? Now, I know everyone thinks that he's this rogue guy and, you know, fill in the burn or whatever, but I personally, it means a lot to me when you see people that know them both and they easily go to her. That says something to me. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of celebrities that don't mean a lot to most people. But, you know, that all of them together, it says something. And, you know, the fact that Hispanics and African Americans are huge in her favor. You know, I think that's largely because, much to the dismay of a lot of, you know, like privileged white kids that, you know, or like the Bernie Bros or whatever. Most people that are that live in poverty in the United States that happen to be black or Hispanic, they don't care about some kind of revolution. They don't care about, you know, socialism or capitalism or any of that kind of stuff. They want somebody who's not going to make their lives any tougher. And they want someone who doesn't talk terribly about them. And they want someone who promises them things and tries to you know, make some of those things actually happen. And you know, not to say that it's not good to have great ideas and such, but I think that in the case of most of the demographics that she's very popular with, you know, I think she's really popular with them because she's a known quantity.
All right, you gave me some reasons why you don't like Bernie, and you kind of a little bit around the issue of why you support Hillary, but give me some specifics about why you're supporting her.
Well, a lot of the reason is that she's done so much in her life. I mean, she was obviously first lady, which, you know, that doesn't necessarily qualify you to be president, but she was also a U.S. senator. She's a lawyer. She was Secretary of State for 4 years and did a really great job. And, you know, has a reputation. I mean, she's for the 20th year in a row, she's the most popular woman in the world. I mean, now I know that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but it means something. It definitely does. She's admired.
Do you think she knows how to get stuff done?
Yeah, of course. I know she does. I mean, she has she's had to work with people and under complete and constant firestorm of shit being flung at her from every direction, basically since she was the first lady of Arkansas. You know, it doesn't help that, you know, her husband has some, you know, reputation for things and that stuff too. But under all of that fire, look at where she's at. She's still poised to probably be the next president. And, you know, as far as her stance on most issues, I mean, you know, I agree with her pretty much across the board in most cases. I mean, you know, there might be some things that I might be a little bit more liberal than she is about, but I also understand that we live in a representative democracy. And I also feel that, you know, my views may not all be perfect for the rest of the country. And so I have to find compromises within myself as well, because it's one thing if you want to support someone who has exactly your views and exactly your beliefs on every issue. That's fine. You can support them. And I encourage you to go out there and, you know, knock on doors and go vote for that person. But you're still going to be going home. There's going to be one of the other two people that won. And you can do that all you want. And like I said, I encourage you to do that. But at the end of the day, you have to, you know, support someone who I think has as close to as possible, you know, most of your views. And so, you know, I hear a lot of criticism about the Wall Street stuff.
Well,
and
we'll get to that.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you something. How does Bernie do with unions? Has he been endorsed by any unions?
Yeah, he's been endorsed by some unions. There's that nurses union in California or whatever. And, a couple others, but not most of the major ones.
How about the Teamsters?
I'm not 100%. I'm sure if they have endorsed, it's probably Hillary.
Yeah. Hey, for the record, Orphan Radio has not officially endorsed a candidate yet, but we're leaning between Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum.
Okay, sweet. But just some so of you it's know. Yeah, some of the adjunct members of Orphan Radio have endorsed.
Right.
Anyway,
Josh is supporting Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay. I thought he might be staying neutral, but
no, not this year.
Okay.
All right. Hey, okay. So we got a couple questions from the audience. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. This is from Rob DePaola in Atlanta, Georgia. You know Rob?
Of course. Hey, Rob.
Well, might not like him after this. Okay. Uh-oh. So he says, do you truly believe that she has the country's best interest at heart over just becoming president to satisfy her own ambitions?
Absolutely. I think that her entire life has been in some sort of service. Yes, she may like the attention that she gets from it, okay? I mean, you can't be a politician and run for president or any sort of elected office and not have some sort of ego. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Yes, of course she wants to be the president. It's a big deal to have a woman president. I know that everybody wants to downplay that, but it is a big deal. And I also think that, she could have at any point become a corporate lawyer, made a ton of money, or she could have been, whatever, anything she wanted to do, but she decided to pick public service. And, she's also done a lot for the Democratic Party. She helps down-ticket Democrats get elected. She's been doing that since she was in the Senate herself. And that's an important part of our government functioning, is that you have to have strong political parties. And, I think that her contribution to the greater good clearly indicates that she has the best interest of the country at heart.
And that's one of your big problems with Bernie too, is that he doesn't raise money for other Democrat or for other.
No,
he's not a Democrat,
but he's not a member of the DNC, and he doesn't. He always gets on her about doing fundraisers. Well, not all of those fundraisers are for herself. A lot of those are for Senate candidates, congressmen, and people like that, that she's going to help make some money. And that is a crucial part of the job of president. If your party doesn't have power, you've seen what they can do, what they've done to Obama. I mean, it's important that the Democrats win back the Senate in 2016, which we have a very good chance of doing. And it looks like with, enough interest from voters, we can really do it if people turn out. But a lot of what that means is spending a shitload of money in a lot of states where there are expensive markets and things like that. But in order to compete, you have to be on the air. You have to be out there. And, taking $27 from everybody isn't going to do it. It's not going to start a revolution.
All right. Next question from Rob. Why won't she release the Goldman Sachs transcripts, and does it bother you that she doesn't?
No, it bothers me not even in the slightest. I know she's a smart woman. I guarantee you there's nothing in any of those transcripts that aside from might being a little bit embarrassing, there's nothing in there. There's no promises she made to anyone. She might have probably used some business-friendly language in some of them. But you know what? A lot of the people that work on Wall Street that are the heads of these banks are liberal guys and girls and ladies, and they're people that they also, some of them have liberal views socially. And, not all of them are just, trying to influence her so that they can all get kickbacks. Now, they might get some here and there, but we also live in a capitalist society, and we depend in so many ways on what happens on Wall Street, whether we like it or not. We do. I mean, without Wall Street and what they do, the global economy would crash. Absolutely. And so, I don't have this hatred towards Wall Street that everyone else does. As far as the transcripts, why should they not be released, or why shouldn't they, or should they? I mean, every single person that's running for president has given a speech to a private organization at some point, whether that be for $600,000 or whether that be for some granola bars or whatever that they're on a concession stand or whatever. The reality is they have all given speeches to people that some of them probably don't want talked about. I guarantee you Bernie Sanders has talked to some leftist organization somewhere and said things that he probably doesn't want coming up. It's just a fact. I don't think she has anything to hide, but until you say to everyone who runs for president, we want transcripts from every private speech you've given, then I don't think she should have to throw anything out there. And another thing on that as well, her emails, these emails from her time as Secretary of State, this is getting so ridiculous. Next thing you know, Chuck Todd is going to be calling for her high school transcripts, because name me one other politician ever that has had their private, personal, whatever emails scrubbed to the extent that she has ever since we've had email, because it's never happened. But somehow she's got something nefarious in there that she's hiding. So it's a narrative. And it's the same thing with the transcripts to the speeches. It's a narrative that goes way back, and it is a right wing, a vast right wing conspiracy, but it is something that they have been digging at for years and years and years. And so much of the rhetoric that I hear right now from so many of the Bernie supporters and people that are just absolutely hating on her, it's the same shit that the right wing has been saying for the last 30 years. So it's not original. It's not founded in any kind of actual reality. It's conjecture. So when people talk about her speeches and why won't she release the transcripts, what that does is implies that there must be something nefarious in there that she's trying to hide. And that's not fair. And it's not founded on anything. If someone really thinks there's something out there that she said to one of these groups and the transcript exists, anonymous or someone will find it. More than likely, they'll find it, they'll delete it because it's boring and it's not going to serve their purpose. But it keeps the narrative alive if you don't release it and she, you know, doesn't know exactly what to say about it because it's not a fair question.
All right, take a deep breath. Take a sip of your beer. Let's regroup.
All right, I'm sorry. No, I mean seriously, one of those things. That's a question that I've really wanted to answer for some time. So I do appreciate the question, Rob, but I just don't see what the big deal is. I think it's a narrative created by the right wing and it's bled over into the left.
All right, moving on. Okay. What do you not like about Hillary? There's got to be things about her you don't like. And what are some things that you like about Bernie too? Throw that in.
Well, let me think for a second.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you this. I think I probably know the answer to this, but if Bernie is the candidate, you'll vote for him.
Of course.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course.
These people supporting Bernie will vote for Hillary?
I mean, the ones that aren't like basically the Tea Party of the left, I'm sure they will. But there's a lot of these guys on they're basically the, a lot of these Bernie and Trump people sort of bleed into one another as far as there's some crossover. Those people, I don't care if they stay home or not. They've never voted anyway, so it doesn't matter. And they're clearly not showing up to vote in these primaries. They're standing in line for 4 hours, but they're not showing up to vote. So, you know, let them post their rage things on Facebook or whatever about how they're going to stay home and they would have stayed home anyways. But as far as what I like or dislike about Hillary, I mean, I've been defending her in one way or another to most people in most conversations I've ever had regarding her for the last literally 20 years, you know, or in some cases, maybe more. I've never hated on her or whatever. So as far as not liking about her, I mean, of course, she has her cringeworthy moments where she has a shitty answer at a debate or a town hall. And I'm just like, come on, you can do better than that. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things you have to consider as well is the fact that just a few years ago in 2012, when she was the Secretary of State still, she had an approval rating, a likability rating of 66%. That's like where Michelle Obama is. So running for president does something to a person. It brings them down in people's mind. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of things negative to say about her. I mean, I hope that the conversations that we've been having as far as with Bernie and the debates and pulling the conversation to the left is good. I think that's a good idea, but, you know, because there are some things I would say about her. Yes. Like the Iraq war thing. Yeah. I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that.
I wish she had voted against that. I'm not.
Why do you think she voted for it?
Well, you know, I think the 70, I think seven senators that voted for it did it because they thought they were doing the right thing. And I don't begrudge any of them. Do you remember that being a problem for John Kerry in 2004? I didn't either. It wasn't a problem. Nobody gave a shit. Joe Biden, was that a big issue when he was the vice presidential candidate? No, nobody cared. But
that Hillary was a, Clinton, it was an issue in 2008.
It was an issue in the primary in 2008.
I mean, Obama was like, I voted against it.
He made it an issue. And she said, you know what? I made a mistake. It was the wrong call. And, you know, I was wrong. And guess what he did? He asked her to be the Secretary of State after that. So if he had a real problem with her vote, I don't think he would have chosen her to be the Secretary of State. He knew that most of his colleagues voted with her. And, you know, that's the truth about that one. But, you know, there are certainly things, I don't know. I don't really have this, I don't look towards the person I want to be president as if whether or not I want to be their buddy or whether or not I want to have a beer with them. I will say that there's a lot of, you know, people have said, and I know it's all anecdotal, but a lot of people have said that she's a pretty warm person to be around and that people genuinely like her, you know, in all walks of, you know, life in different ways. She's a pretty decent person, I hear. That's cool. Great. I'm not going to say I don't like her because I don't like her shrill voice or, you know, her pantsuits or whatever. I just, you know, I don't have a I don't expect anything perfect from the politicians I support. As far as Bernie, things I like about him.
Yeah.
You know, I in theory agree with single payer healthcare. I do. And I think it's a great idea. But I know it's not practical to go from what we have now because there's many, many reasons. They don't talk about it on the media because it doesn't go with their narrative against Hillary. But the thing about single-payer healthcare, that would probably get rid of 15 to 20 million jobs like that. And because all of the healthcare industry, all of the insurance companies, all of the employees at the insurance companies, I mean, all of the money that would suck out of the economy, it's not a feasible idea to go to a single payer system. What's much, much more likely and better to do would be to go to a public option, add that to Obamacare, which could be done. You know, if you get Congress and if we can win back Congress enough seats and get the Senate, you could pass some legislation that could add a public option that you could pay into and buy into. And, you know, that's a reasonable thing. Anyways, I'm talking about why I like Bernie. I like the idea, and I agree with him on that. I don't have any, you know, animosity towards him. I didn't, you know, yeah, I could break down why I don't agree with his approach to it, but I like that. You know, I really love the fact that he supported Jesse Jackson in 1984. I think that's awesome. I think that's, like, way ahead of his time. That was a super cool thing to do at that time. And I love Jesse Jackson, and so I think that's a pretty right-on thing that he did. I love the fact that, you know, he was out there doing things in the early 60s, in 62 and 63, and getting arrested and marching with Dr. King and all that stuff. I think that's very admirable, especially at that time, you know, to do that. You know, I think there are a lot of things about him that if I were to ever have an opportunity to have a conversation with him about how things really are in politics and just in general, I'd probably agree with him a lot. I don't think he's presidential, though, and that's something that bothers me. I'm sorry. I feel like that job is a pretty important job. And, you know, that person represents is the head of our government and the leader of our country. And there's certain things that they should, I think, exhibit. And he doesn't exhibit those
like
qualities.
What?
Well, I think that he sounds like a bumbling fool a lot of the times, you know, at the debates. You know, he gets a total pass because everybody online votes for him. Oh, he won 98% to 2% on the online polls. Of course he won the debate. You know, that is the most subjective thing in the world. That's people that are online that are choosing to vote. It's not scientific at all, but everybody uses that as evidence of his popularity. But anyways, he still, to me, sounds like an idiot up there because you ask him a foreign policy question, he has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, his idea of sending Iranian troops into Syria is literally the beginning of World War III. It is absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen. And he's actually maybe suggested that we try that. I mean, Syria shares a border with Israel. And as far as I know, the current status of Israel and Iran is Iran has said they would like to wipe Israel off the planet. There's never been any sort of, you know, reconciliation. There's not any kind of, just because we got this deal to pass recently that prevents Iran from getting nuclear weapons, at least for the next 10 years, perhaps beyond, doesn't mean that all of our differences are resolved. That is a horrible idea, embedding them where they would just slaughter everyone. So that just shows that he doesn't understand that conflict. He's also suggested sending Saudi Arabian troops into Iraq, which is the same thing. It would be World War III. It would absolutely cause World War III. And, you know, he has no concept of you know, any of these areas of the world, because he is primarily focused on domestic economic issues. And that's cool. That's your thing. And that's like Elizabeth Warren. That's great that that's their thing. And in the Senate and on their committees, that's great to have that perspective. I don't think that is what I want as a president. They need to be, in my opinion, someone who's more well-rounded. And, you know, because here's the thing to me. What if we do get attacked in another terrorist attack? Because it's bound to happen at some point. I mean, some way or another, they're not just going to decide, we're not going to attack them anymore. Something, again, is going to happen. There's going to be another mass shooting. I the idea of him being the president when that happens is just not appealing to me.
Let's take a commercial break, and then we'll talk about the candidates on the other side. How does that sound?
It sounds good. All right.
White Castle cannot be held responsible for the passion people feel for our hamburgers. Sure, we know that hot, steamy taste makes you lose control. And we know that once you get that White Castle urge, there's just no stopping you. Now we're offering bacon cheeseburgers for 69 cents each.
White Castle, the taste keeps drawing you back.
And you're on your own.
All right, we're back. This is the Orphan Radio 2016 political... I haven't made up a name for this episode yet. What should we call it?
The 2016 political commentary by Benji King.
Okay, yeah, that works. All right, let's talk about the other side. Tell me what you think about the the Republican candidates that are still standing. Jeb Bush dropped out a couple days ago.
Right. God, I wish we could have had this conversation a couple weeks ago now. It's a total fucking mess. I mean... I still think that Donald Trump is going to get the nomination.
Okay.
I don't think that they're Rubio and Cruz are about to just rip into each other for the next couple of weeks, hardcore. Probably trading states back and forth while Trump takes the prize. And not because Trump is so super popular, but because there's more of the idiots that support him than there are of – well, there's fewer than there are supporting Rubio and Cruz together, but with them running, splitting the other idiot vote, that doesn't leave that, you know, no one's going to win but Trump for the next probably, I don't know, going into Super Tuesday. And then when they get into winner take all states, they'll probably all take some here and there, but it could go to the convention. And if that happens, whoa. I don't know. I still think Trump's going to win it outright.
Where are the conventions this year? I was thinking about this earlier.
Theirs is in Cleveland, and ours is in, is it Philly?
I don't know.
I think,
it doesn't matter. Who cares?
I think it's in Philly, but is that or, yeah.
I know it's not in Kansas City.
No, and theirs is definitely Cleveland.
Well, Kansas City was trying, though, pretty hard.
We were in the top three.
But what happened?
Not enough infrastructure to support it. We didn't
not have enough public transit.
Not enough public transportation and not enough hotels accessible to – I mean, they loved the Sprint Center. They loved the city. That's why it got so far into the consideration, but not enough – you know, and Sly, man, I got to give it to him. He did everything to get it. He really went out of his way to try to get them, but I would have given anything for that to happen, but oh well.
Yeah, you're right. I just looked it up. You're right. It is Philadelphia.
Okay.
Now let me ask you this. If if you had to support a Republican candidate in this race, who would it be?
John Kasich.
I mean, he's the only one that semi.
He's the only one from day one that I was afraid of.
That you weren't afraid of.
No, that I was afraid of.
Oh,
as,
gotcha.
As far as if he got the nomination, that might be able to actually beat Hillary and win the presidency. He was the only one because he's the only one that sounds reasonable. You know, he has a lot of things going for him that could appeal to more conservative type Democrats from the South and places like that, because, you know, he did expand Medicare. Medicaid. He expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. He's done a lot of other kinds of, he had to capitulate on some union shit a few years back. So anyways, he's someone that I thought could actually maybe win the presidency if he got the nomination, but he's toast. There's no way he won't make it past, Nevada probably tomorrow.
What do you think, like, what do you attribute to Trump's rise and like the way he's performing?
Largely it's a contingency of people that don't typically engage in politics. They aren't actually Republican, but they want to associate themselves with that because they're typically racist, very poorly educated, working class and poor. And, you know, he represents something. He's like a big F you to the all them Washington elites and all that, you know, and it's kind of a, he represents something in their mind because they can relate to him. They've seen him on TV for many years and they watch him and they see him fire people and whatever. I've never watched his show, but whatever he does on there that appeals to people. And that, and so, you know, he's out there saying terrible shit about Mexicans and immigrants. And, you know, that's what they want to say, but can't. He gets up there and says crude things about other, you know, people running and they all get behind it. It's just kind of the Cletus contingency, you know, it's like, they're just, I don't know. I mean, not, you know, because most people want to be like him. They want to emulate him. They want to be rich. They, you know, and it's, they don't really, because honestly, there's not one person that can say it has anything to do with policy because he has never once ever talked about policy on any level. You know, he talks about building a wall and he talks about, you know, banning all Muslims. But as far as any kind of policy, we're going to do great. It's going to be terrific. And we're going to have terrific, people come in and do these jobs. We're going to have terrific people working on the economy. That's all he says about it. And that's all
sounds
you have
terrific.
To say. It's, yeah, it sounds terrific. That's all you have to say to people, though, you know, to get in line. It's the same thing with Bernie Sanders. I mean, literally, it's, we're going to have free tuition. We're going to have, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to say that Bernie Sanders supporters are anywhere near, you know, Donald Trump supporters.
You did, but, a little bit earlier.
Well, the Tea Party are similar, but I don't think the Tea Party is what is really supporting Donald Trump. The Tea Party are supporting more Cruz and Rubio even. But, no, Trump supporters are, I think, largely people that don't participate. I hate to say it, but the Bernie supporters, a lot of them are younger. Most of them are younger, white dudes. And, you know, I just think that a lot of what Bernie says, the reality of it doesn't matter. It's that he's saying the right thing. I mean, I could tell you some conversations I've had with people I know that I find staggering when I ask them, why are you supporting Bernie Sanders?
What do they say?
Well, I've had, I mean, I know I'm not going to say anybody's names or anything, but
right,
I
don't
somebody,
want names.
I had somebody actually just say, I don't know. And I said, what do you mean? Well, I just, you know, if he doesn't get the nomination, I'll totally support her. But, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, that's fine. But I, you know, that's scary to me. Okay. I can understand that, you know, it's the cool thing. And it's kind of like, you know, getting in line. Oh yeah, Bernie, dude. Fuck yeah, I'm feeling the burn, man. But the thing is that if you don't do any kind of vetting of a person, you don't know really what their what they can handle, what they've gone, you know, what, I mean, the thing about Hillary Clinton, I will say this 100%, is she has been vetted and vetted and vetted, and there's nothing new coming out about her. There's not, they can keep flinging shit at her, hoping something will stick.
Benghazi,
they'll keep doing emails. None of it will ever stick, ever. But they'll keep doing it, and they'll keep doing it. But see, the thing is that they haven't vetted Bernie. They haven't gone back and dug through all his shit. There's a ton of it out there. It trust me, it's all out there. It just hasn't been dug up because nobody thinks they're going to need it. And the problem is that when you get into the general election, you do need that stuff because it needs to have been looked at and there needs to be answers for all of it. And, you know, that's part of the problem. But anyways, back to the point of, I know I digress and go into, I think Trump supporters are largely people that listen to right-wing radio and are just mad as hell about the world. And same with Bernie supporters in many cases. Not all of them. I'm not – like I said. But a lot of Bernie supporters are just mad as hell. But if you listen to either side of them, you'd think we live in 19th century Russia or something. And I don't – I'm doing way better than I was 8 years ago. And, you know, I'm pretty happy with how things are going, the direction the country's moving in, personally. I mean, there's income inequality, and there are some things we need to work on. Definitely our policing as a country and within community, we have a lot of things to work on. But I also think that we're doing a hell of a lot better than we were. And, you know, unemployment's below 5% now. I know, you know, all of the different arguments that people make about that. But based on the same standard it's always been measured on, it's at below 5%. Gas prices are, shit, $1.40. They've gotten down below $1 in some places. I mean, things aren't going so bad. And my personal life, I have a much better job and situation than I was at that time. I belong to a union, and, you know, I'm happy with the way the world is. I definitely think we all need to put a little bit more in and lift up the people on the bottom and make it so that there's much more equality. And I have no problem with trimming off the top. But I'm also, you know, interested in that actually happening and those things actually getting done. And at the same time, I also realize that we have, you know, a lot of different views on this country and people have a lot of different perspectives, and we can't just alienate everyone and go all the way to the left or all the way to the right. I mean, we've been trying that and it just doesn't work. We have to compromise. There has to be things that we can agree on and get things done the way that it used to be, because it that's how it used to work. And when you have either side demanding all the way or not at all, it just leaves us in this position where we have the teabaggers in Congress controlling the country in many ways. Luckily, because the president is so much smarter than them, he's been able to out-politic them at every turn. And that's part of my point about Hillary Clinton being an amazing politician as well, because you need that in order to manipulate all sorts of different domestic and foreign situations that arise. And, you know, President Obama has been able to outsmart them so many times just by staying, you know, letting them show their hand and then him playing it based on that. And because they get so overzealous and they have their own little wars inside of Congress, and when they were fighting Boehner, and now it'll be the same with Paul Ryan.
What do you think of Paul Ryan?
Oh, I think he's a weasel. I mean, he, you know, he has no spine. I know that he's going to get, once we get through this and the dust settles in a year and a half from now, and we're, you know, back to where it's time to govern. I know he's going to capitulate to Louie Gohmert and Tim Hulskamp and those people, because he doesn't want to, you know, give in, because they, for some reason, they perceive it as weakness. Any type of compromise is weakness. And, you know, they've built their entire party on top of a lie. That's all they do. It's so funny watching them up there when they call each other liars. It's hilarious because that's all they all do constantly. And
do you think the Democrats do that too?
Hell no. No, I don't think so at all. I believe President Obama. And I think he has a good heart, and I think that he means what he says, and I think he tells the truth, just like Hillary Clinton. You know, that answer that, you know, she got asked the other day, you know, if she ever lies or whatever, that was so fucking unfair. Do they do that to everybody else? When was the last time Jeb Bush got asked if he lies? When was the last time anybody asked Bernie? I mean, he said he gave some, you know, a much better answer to a similar question, but... You know, they all lie. You can't have that job and not be able to lie. That's part of the job. And I would never want anyone in that job that doesn't know how to lie. Because you have to be able to tell things and not necessarily go out there and just bullshit everyone. But you have to be able to hide things. And sometimes you're asked a question that you can't answer honestly. It's just a reality. We have government secrets. We have all sorts of things. I mean, that's part of, you know, what do you think a covert operative does? You know, when these CIA agents go and gather intelligence in these countries, you think they're over there just singing the, you know, the truth about everything? Hell no. They have to know how to, you know, manipulate a situation to their advantage. And I'm not saying that it's the context of it is not the same thing, and everybody knows that, but they imply that everything she says is a lie. No, where's something that anyone's proven that she's lied about besides some bullshit Benghazi conspiracy theory? She lied and people died and all that shit. No, she didn't lie about anything. None of that was lies. Everything she talked about was based on the actual intelligence that they had at the time, you know, but when she was asked certain types of things to disclose certain things, when she was asked, you know, when she was testifying in Congress, you know, she had certain classified things she couldn't talk about. You know, that gets turned into a lie, or, you know, it's back to my point. Basically, I just think that.
Yeah. What was your point?
I don't know. I get defensive about this stuff because, you know, I listen to all sides. I listen to Rush Limbaugh as often as I can. I listen to Hannity from time to time in the car.
That's one of the funniest shows on the radio.
Oh, sometimes it is, but sometimes I have to flip them off. I just can't do it, and I turn it off because he gets so hateful towards this current president. And, you know, the constant talks of indictment against Hillary Clinton, which is a total narrative that has absolutely zero merit and will never, ever happen. But as long as they keep saying it and they get Chuck Todd and they get, you know, David Gregory.
Does Chuck Todd say that?
Oh, he is a weasel too, man. He plays this bullshit. You know, he's a right winger at heart, and he's a lot like, he reminds me a lot of, and that's why it was kind of, you know, poetic watching him the other night. I don't know if you watched the town hall.
No.
In Nevada the other night. Well,
no.
There was this guy that got up and asked this question, this total weasel, who gets up and asks her, so I was wondering if you would release all of your transcripts from all of your paid speeches so that we can know what promises you made to these banks. And she answered with basically, yeah, I'll do it when everybody else does, mm-hmm. You know, and which I think is a good answer, because why should she have to release everything? You know, just because she got paid doesn't mean she promised them a bunch of kickbacks. The last time it's not like she's going to be able to write a bunch of executive orders to give her buddies big breaks. Okay. And until you can prove that there's something nefarious about it, then it's just conjecture. But anyways,
let me ask you something else.
Hold on real quick though. Okay. He got a follow-up question, and he said to her, I was a really big supporter of you and your husband until about 10 years ago when you said that you thought marriage was between one man and one – or a man and a woman. How can we trust you on anything? And she said, well, you know what? Human Rights Campaign endorsed me, not your candidate. He called them part of the establishment. And that kind of shut him down. Anyways, that guy this weasel fuck transcripts guy. He reminds me a lot of Chuck Todd, and that's what was so funny about him standing there next to him. That's the same kind of shit that Chuck Todd asks.
Let me ask you this. Briefly, what do you think of the two other leading Republican candidates, Cruz and Rubio? Start with Cruz.
Cruz is an absolute lunatic. He will never be president of the United States, and he has no business being anywhere near the office of the president. I think he'll be a one-term senator. I don't even think he'll run again in 2018. And he'll go do some bullshit Christian, you know, group thing like the,
the Promise Keepers?
Promise. Well, no, like, what is it? Family Matters or whatever.
What is it? Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family and all that shit. He'll do something like that, or do something like, Jim DeMint did with Heritage Foundation. He'll go join some huge right-wing think tank and make millions of dollars. And so, you know, we'll still hear about him from time to time, but he won't be in elected office, I don't think. But who knows? We'll see how much he wants to. Because he's going to want to get rich, and that's what they do. They use this to get rich. Ultimately, Ted Cruz doesn't even want to be the president. If he did, he wouldn't be talking the way he's talking. What Ted Cruz wants is a big job for one of those big organizations. And if he gets that, then he gets paid, and he can say whatever he wants. But Marco Rubio, he's a weasel too. He, you know, he doesn't have any idea what he's doing. He's not nearly as smart as people give him credit. I do fear him a little bit though, because he doesn't have a whole lot of track record, and so there's not a lot to go attack because he hasn't done much. You know, just ask Rick Santorum, who endorsed him.
That's Rick my boy.
He went on Morning Joe after he dropped out and endorsed Marco Rubio. Morning Joe said, "Can you name one accomplishment from Marco Rubio?" And Rick Santorum sat there and kind of stammered, and "Well, I guess since Congress hasn't done anything, nothing." That is a commercial that is just ready to be aired if he were to get the nomination. It would just be on repeat.
So who did Huckabee
He's kind of snuggled up to Donald, but I don't know that he's actually formally endorsed. Because he's a,
I couldn't think of that word.
He's a total leech too. He's a total leech too. He'll just leech on to whatever he thinks popular. I mean, Donald Trump, it's hilarious that evangelicals in this country have proven that it's just bullshit. All the evangelical shit is not real. They voted for, in large number, Donald Trump in South Carolina. They don't give a shit about any of that crap. It's all political. That's all it is. Because otherwise they wouldn't have voted for. The guy said 2 Corinthians. Come on. He doesn't even know the chapters of the Bible. He doesn't even know how to say them. I mean,
I remember when I was in North Carolina in 2008, and this girl was talking about why she supported John McCain, and she said, "Because of family values." And I'm
I worked with this horrible person many years ago during the 2004 campaign, and her husband was in some kind of Christian evangelical seminary school thing.
Cool.
Yeah, it was somewhere in Olathe, I'm sure, but I remember we were talking. I was very enthusiastic about John Kerry very early in that race. And she said, "I just can't support him because of the abortion issue and because of gay marriage." And I told her, I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "Because gay marriage will be no more legal the day George W. Bush, or the day that he leaves office, than it was the day he went in." And I said, "And abortion's not going to change at all if George Bush gets elected either. So you have no real reason to vote for him." And she's like, "Well, I just can't support a Democrat." And she tried to say it was for religious reasons. All it is it's the same bullshit that's pounded down her head from right-wing radio and all the other evangelicals. But it's not real. It's not true. They don't really believe any of that.
You don't think any of them do?
No, of course not. No, they absolutely don't.
I'm talking about the candidates or the people voting
for them? None of them. None of them. It's total bullshit. It's politics. It's something that boring people cling on to. And it's, you know, the uber religious people that consider themselves to be evangelical. And then they support Republicans. That is total bullshit. It's not real. It's not. They can justify any way they want. But the reality of it is, if they're a Republican and they're claiming to be these hardcore Christians, they're just assholes, or they have no idea what the Bible actually says.
What do you think about that Liberty University?
It's horrifying. I mean, you know,
it's all about
kids,
big money.
It's all about big money, and they brainwash those kids, and they, you know, the way that some of the speeches that have been there, you know, Bernie went there, and Ted Cruz, that's where he announced. And it was a mandatory attendance too. That's hilarious. But some of the shit that they clap at is terrifying. We believe in the sanctity of life. Crowd goes nuts, and it's just like they don't care about that issue. That's an issue that's made up. They just care about that issue because they think they should, and it's something that they just teach each other to separate themselves from everyone else.
I want to ask you two more questions.
Okay.
One, if Hillary is the nominee, who does she pick as her running mate?
I have been saying this since 2004 or 12. She will pick Julian Castro, former mayor of San Antonio, current secretary of HUD. He has been being groomed for this job for years, and I think he'd be perfect. I think he could help turn Texas maybe purple, if not by 2016, certainly by 2020, maybe even into 2018. I would like to see his brother Joaquin run to replace Ted Cruz. I think that'd be a really interesting race if Ted Cruz were to run again, but I don't think he will. But I think I've been saying this forever, that it was going to be Julian Castro. And that's not, you know, if you follow Democratic politics and you watch the keynote address in the 2012 convention, he's being set up for that job. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, he's a really sharp dude that, you know, he's a lawyer. He's been the mayor of a major city. He's been the secretary of HUD now. You know, he's got some stuff on his resume to qualify him to be vice president, I believe. And, you know, he's got a really interesting story. His mom raised him and his brother, and, you know, they both went to college and law school, and his brother's a congressman. And anyways, I think she would pick him. That's not set in stone. There could always be things that come up, but I do believe that's going to be her choice.
Okay.
He's out there campaigning for her. So,
And if Trump is the nominee, who do you think he picks as his running mate?
That's really scary. I think he would go with some milquetoast, you know, conservative. I don't know that he would choose any of the guys that he's running against, but I could see, you know, it's kind of tough to say, because I think he's put himself in a position where he can't pick Cruz or Rubio. God, it's kind of funny to think, but I have no idea. I don't see how he goes from you're a liar and, you know, to picking Cruz.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for delving into the issues with me. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself.
I appreciate that. I had a lot of fun, and I hope I didn't get too defensive and or offensive or offensive, but I just, you know, I have strong feelings about these things, and I, like I said, I listen to all perspectives quite frequently and regularly, and I pay attention to the media, and so I've you know, got these pretty strong feelings about it, but I try to be objective about it.
Well, I think you are.
I try to tell the truth all the time.
All right. Well, I will talk to you soon then.
All right, man. Peace.
Thank you.
I I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You running down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.